Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
This SNEFIT recommendation about the limits on the number of people that can meet in a home, a return really to last year's rules on hospitality in many respects. The government, the cabinet, the ministers, they're actually meeting now in the next 2 hours or so to discuss these SNEFIT recommendations. And we just want to get your reaction to this today. Like, now into the 3rd of December, how are you feeling about all of this? 1894 53 106. Sarah's with us. Sarah, how do you feel?
Not particularly happy, to be honest. I just feel at this point enough is enough. We had the longest restrictions in Europe. We were told over the summer that everything was going to be fine if we just stayed longer. We saw people in the UK have their freedom day, get their lives back. We were locked down for longer. And now we're hearing that potentially what NEFIT are advising is a more restrictive Christmas day, 3 households in your house than we had last year, when everybody around my Christmas table will be double or triple vaccinated.
I suppose when we look at the figures really over the past kind of 2-3 weeks at this stage, and the discussion around the Omicron, the new variant and Delta variant, do you see any rationale for it, Sarah?
I see a rationale for it, but part of the problem here, Andrea, is the way that the government has chosen to communicate with us about this. We're 2 years into the pandemic, and I'm still finding out most of my information, like a lot of people, from social media, from NEFIT, before the government have even made a decision. How is that continuing to go on?
Everybody's, you know, the minister for commentary at this moment in time, I think.
For sure. But the problem is that I just feel like it's time and time again, we're getting misinformation, we're getting wrong information. There's no strategy, there's no effective communication. I'm a parent of 2 small children. We've been told for months that schools are safe. All of a sudden, we're told to mask our children. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I have a son who's turning 3 in January. When this first lockdown started, he was just turned 1. He didn't walk and he didn't talk when we went into lockdown. By the time we emerged, he was walking and talking. We were driving down the road one day and he looked out the window and he saw a woman with 2 kids and he said, "Mom, friends." And I felt so guilty that he had had none of the classes, none of the things, the experiences that his brother has had. Then last week I hear on the radio that I'm being advised that despite the fact that it's safe for his brother to go to school and for him to go to Montessori, he shouldn't have birthday parties. He shouldn't go to the panda. I can go, but he can't go, or whatever that message was. It's not about the virus. It's not about, we're all adults. We understand things change. It's about chopping and changing and misinformation. Every parent listening to this radio show knew that there was COVID in schools months ago. Why are we patronised to you and told that there isn't, and then overnight told actually there is? Doesn't make any sense. And if restrictions are coming in, fine. We can all accept that there's a virus, it's not predictable. The problem is with the consistency of the messaging. So I can't have 3 households in my house for Christmas Day, but I can meet 100 households in a restaurant. What's the sense there? Last year, Christmas was meaningful. Now what? It's back to more restrictive. Do vaccines work or do they not?
Will it change how you celebrate Christmas, Sarah?
No, it won't, because yeah. I think a lot of people just feel at this point like enough is enough. Like, show me the science. Show me the science that I can't have 3 households if they're all vaccinated. Everybody over 40 at my Christmas table will be booster vaccinated and everybody else will be double vaccinated. Show me the science that there's a problem with that. Show me the science that's going to make me tell my 3-year-old that another Christmas he shouldn't have his grandparents around.
Listen, Sarah, it's hard to disagree with you in many respects, you know, and I understand the frustration. Like, I think everybody is just so fatigued by this at this stage, and, you know, hard to believe we're kind of even talking about another meeting at 3 o'clock today to consider increased restrictions. But look, it's happening. They're currently going to meet. They've got the NEFID recommendations. We have some of that leaked. I see a lot of the hospitality industries as well actually talking about this on Twitter. Stay with us, Sarah, if you don't mind. It's 1894 53 106. JP McMahon is a chef. He's a restaurant owner as well in Galway. What's your thoughts, JP, now about all this today?
I'd agree with Sarah, who was Sarah with the previous caller speaker. Like, I'm supposed confused. I mean, we seem to be going back to a worse position in terms of hospitality. If what we believe to close at 10, which is a disaster for us, but everyone is vaccinated in the restaurants. Last year, I think the closing time was 11:30, and nobody was vaccinated. So I don't comprehend. I mean, and I am a pro-vaccine, pro-COVID cert, but I'm losing, I suppose, not so much patience, but kind of like, I don't know long, what is the vaccine cert for? Like, if everyone can spread COVID and carry COVID, even if it's a little bit less, then what is it for now? And if we're going to restrict hospitality, what does that mean going forward? Does that mean we're waiting for the booster and then they'll tell us the booster and we'll be all right after that, but then back in the same position? I mean, there's not that much more we can do. I mean, other than create a safe environment and the contradictions of having 50,000 people in Croke Park outside with no masks and having 20 people in our restaurant, all socially distanced, like 1.5 metres away from each other. Like, I don't understand.
Okay. I suppose they'll make the point that maybe it's outside.
Yeah, but I suppose but everyone inside is vaccinated. I suppose so. The problem is that there are far too many holes in every one of their points, and it doesn't seem to be. They don't seem to be following the science. They don't seem to be following the politics. No more than the getting a PCR test to fly in. I mean, that was a disaster this morning. But at the same time, 48 hours beforehand, you can pick it up in that time. So I would question the ways the science is being interpreted. And at some point, we're going to have to take personal responsibility and not go to where we don't want to go. I mean, I wouldn't go into a nightclub. I wouldn't go into a concert. I mean, I'm asthmatic. I haven't had COVID, but I still worry I would get it. So I won't be dancing.
No, I share your concern, JP. No.
And I won't be dancing to a concert. But at the same time, like it just seems all muddled. And if we're going backwards in terms of households and backwards in terms of hospitality, I'd like to see the government justify why we're going back, okay, as opposed to putting some sort of spin on it.
Can I just ask you as well? I just actually see here too now some scepticism from government ministers apparently about the scope of the restrictions put forward by Neffet in that letter to the health minister. That is, I suppose, the line, if you like, or the commentary on social media at the moment. Just in your own industry, in the restaurant industry, JP, this thing about a potential, now I should say this isn't confirmed yet, it's the Neffet recommendations, but this potential ban on booking multiple tables, is that a major impact on you, or like you can still operate?
Like, yeah, like it's not. I mean, every operator is different. I mean, we have not been impacted. We don't do tables of 15 to 25 and 30, but there is a vast section of hospitality that does do that. I mean, what will impact us most is closing at 10 o'clock. That would, like, it may half our business, because you're losing the whole second sitting that might come in at 9 or half.
If the nine sitting is effectively gone, but if it stayed to 11:30 like last year, I presume that would be manageable.
If it stayed to 11:30, I would absolutely accept that. But the problem is, and as the other lady was saying, is that why everything is leaked? Like, it's all potential, may happen. Like, the stress, my stress levels this morning are at 90, because am I closed? Am I open? Am I going to, like, what am I going to say to the staff? Like, it's just all unnecessary.
Sure,
because it could all Neffet. I suppose are their own people now, and they just put out information whenever they want. And I think that no more than in the UK, and we don't hear too much about their chief medical officer anymore, there has to be a point where the government needs to take control and say, look, Neffet can advise, but we don't need to hear that advice. That's given to the government, not to the public.
I see actually the Vintners, the VFI, have a statement out as well today. They said a meeting between hospitality sector with Micheál Martin and Michael McGrath finished earlier. Constructive engagement. Government understands the needs of our sector. We expect more developments today. That meeting of the cabinet ministers is actually happening at 3 o'clock. Presumably we'll hear more later on as well, this afternoon or this evening, about that. Let me just bring in as well, because there's even talk too, I just see, with our earlier closing times, people being having to be seated, caps and attendance at concerts, matches, cultural events also just being considered. And I should say, just for people tuning into us here on Lunchtime Live, this hasn't been officially announced, but we also have another guest too with us on the programme, Peter Kelly from Weddings and Events by Franck. Franck, how are you feeling today? Are you worried?
Well, I agree totally with the other two callers, but for the event industry, we're already in lockdown. All our major events have been cancelled by corporates already, so we're not waiting to hear news. It's already gone. That business has gone and won't come back this year. So the event industry is in serious difficulty this Christmas because it was the first time after a year and a half they got back to doing some work and were hoping to, which was hopefully going to carry them through to March next year. But now it's completely wiped off their books. Everyone I've talked to, from caterers to outdoor caterers to event organizers to lighting companies, you've got party rental companies, all of their bookings have gone at this stage. They're completely gone. So there is nothing for them this Christmas. So already the damage has been done for them. And so that's why they definitely need to keep these supports going, or else there's going to be so many companies folding.
I heard Adrian Cummins actually from the Restaurant Association just making that point earlier today, that the supports are going to be a vital part. Is that your own view as well, JP?
No, absolutely. And my worry is that these supports won't be enough now, because restaurants are deciding to close. I mean, Gather and Tume decided to close because of the precarious station. They're going to reopen in January or that. But I don't know what supports can possibly save us, in terms of if we miss, like, Christmas is similar to our summer, so it's really busy, and these months, these three this kind of month of Christmas really takes in about 3 months of January, February and March, and I don't know how you can fill that in and then wait until April or May or June for the season to start again, if it will. That's what I'm concerned about.
Peter, just on the point about weddings, like, I should say just as well for people listening, like, there isn't any detail or information about changes to weddings at this stage. I mean, it's just talking about this potential cap on attendance at the likes of the concerts, the matches, the cultural events. How much warning for an event like that do you need to try and make changes?
Well, you see, that's it. I don't think they understand our industry at all, especially all of our business is booked months in advance. It's not a weekly thing. So we're not like a restaurant that can pick up business after 2 or 3 weeks if things change. It's already changed for the event industry. For weddings, a lot of them will go ahead. So a lot of businesses like hotels who are going to have a wedding, and if it is going to happen, it still probably will happen, but maybe the numbers will drop because people will be scared to go. But for corporate business and corporate events, they've all decided they are not going to do it at this stage, and that's already gone. So that's what I'm speaking really about, is the corporate business. And I suppose the other thing is that, you know, it's very infuriating, as the other guests have said, that this is 2 years now we've been dealing with this. We're now going to the third year, and we still are only now deciding to actually have people tested on flights coming to the country, which I find unbelievable. I also find the fact that they haven't been using testing to run events, which they could have, like other countries have done very successfully. There's been a huge amount of people giving out about antigen testing from Neffert for nearly a year and a half now, whereas the public have been actually taking that into their own hands for almost a year, going to Lidl and Aldi, testing to make sure their kids and themselves hadn't got COVID. Even though I know personal people who were in schools were told, you don't need to test your kids, even though the teachers got COVID.
Well, I know of people...
the class had got COVID.
Yeah, I know of, Peter, people, you know, who are having weddings in the next week or two, and they've actually asked all the guests to do an antigen test before they go to the wedding. I think it's a brilliant idea. You know, I think
it's a perfect idea.
Yeah.
I know people who go on nightclubs and would much prefer to do an antigen test at their door than, as JP said, looking at a COVID cert that means nothing, because it doesn't mean you're not carrying COVID.
Sarah, do other parents share the same frustration as you when you're chatting to them?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, the schools, I mean, just to paint a picture of last week, for example, I've got two boys. The schools are rightly paranoid about COVID. On the Monday, I get a call saying one of my sons has coughed and I need to come and get him. I'm all the way in town. The school is in Malahide. My husband is self-employed. You're constantly living in this state of stress, waiting. The next day, the Montessori rang, said, come and get my other son because he's not well. I couldn't get PCR tests anywhere. I'm doing antigen tests. And a few months ago, we were told antigen tests were snake oil. Now they're all that's available to me. I spent days trying to get PCR tests. We can't go to work. We have to rely on grandparents and people to help us with childcare. And I think most parents are in this state of constant stress, constant waiting. You can't plan anything. You don't know what's going to happen next. And we were told for months that there was no COVID in school.
1890 453 106, if you want to join us here in Lunchtime Live today. Just let me bring in Alan Hughes as well. Alan is a panto producer, and Alan, we spoke to you on the programme actually earlier this week. We now see some of the advice being put forward by NPHET to government that'll be considered today is in and around a cap on attendance at concerts, cultural events, even a cap on the possibility in indoor venues having to maybe reduce to about 50%. What's your reaction to this today?
Well, Andrea, you couldn't make this up. Like at this time of year for shows that are trying to, like as I said to you the other day, pantos have one shot at this. It's one time of the year that we can actually go out and put on shows. But look at, we are in a lucky position here at the National Stadium with Aladdin, is that we had planned for this. We have a 2,000 seater. We were only selling 760 seats because I literally thought, just in case something goes wrong, we can social distancing. And I thought it might say go back to the 60% occupancy the way it was before the restrictions were lifted. So we're in a very lucky position here in the National Stadium that we can do that now. From next Thursday when we open, we can do that. But there's theatres all across the country. What 50% of the people are you going to say you can't come?
And what's the alternative? You try and put on an extra night, sure, it mightn't be possible.
Or, like, you know, and like runs are booked out. Like you have your dates in the theatre. So is it, and so what 50% of the people do you say, yeah, is it the first 50% who booked and the ones after that can't come? I mean, it's going to be an absolute fiasco if this actually comes in. Luckily, we are in a position that we can do it, but for other producers around the country, but just this whole mixed messaging again, that we're just, it's just knocking the confidence out of the industry. And I would just appeal to parents, we need the support. And if it's the one thing we said this already, and we're saying don't mix in lots of different venues and don't do things. So I just think if it's the one thing that you do in a week with your family, with your children, maybe try and come to the panto. They're safe environment, and make that your one trip and your family trip.
Personal responsibility element of it.
Yeah, the responsibility element of it. But it's just absolutely shocking that we're still in this situation.
Yeah. And look, and people aren't stupid. They will absolutely cut back and pick. You know, I know I'm doing it myself, where I'm saying, like, you know, I'm not doing anything this weekend or didn't do anything last weekend because you might want to go and have lunch next Friday. Or, like, people are doing that. And I hear it all the time when I see it with my friends. And yes, people are disappointed and they're put out that you're not going to their thing or meeting them. But, like, we're all trying to, everyone's trying to do their best. I think they're trying to cut back, you know.
Like, we are all doing our best. We're doing our best here. We have every safety measure in place. Now, you can social distance. So if you come to Aladdin, you can, if you're not happy in the seats you are, you can sit anywhere you want in the arena. And you can go to your own little family bubble and sit wherever you want. And we're allowing that. But other theatres don't have that luxury.
We were asking people to get in touch with us too on the text line about this. And I have to say, it's very mixed, the response to this today. This listener says, what NPHET is suggesting, according to the leaks you've mentioned, it's not enough at all. We've far more times the amount of COVID that we had this time last year, 25%, even in fact, in terms of more fatalities as well per head of population, according to this listener. And remember what happened last Christmas. Not happy about this. I'd like to see more restrictions, says this texter. 53106 is the number. Fiona's got in touch. She says everyone is finding out different things every day about COVID. The government can't make announcements unless they confirm everything's accurate, but anyone can say whatever they like on social media. Please stop having a go at the politicians and NPHET. They're doing their best to try and save our lives. I say thank you to them. Thank you to the politicians. Thank you to NPHET for spending your time trying to manage this once-in-a-lifetime crisis when you could have walked away and left the country to it. That's a message in from Fiona today. Another listener, everyone giving out about not having enough people at their Christmas dinner table. I don't mind, to be honest. For me, I'd much rather just have myself and my family, who has a weak immune system. We also have a statement from the Cork music promoter Shane Dunn into us here as well, who says there's no such thing as a 50% cap at concerts. It just means they're closed. Keep them coming into us. 53106.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.